It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, life has definitely changed in the Motherlode due to the coronavirus pandemic, and on this weekend show, we're going to continue our look at the local response and the impacts of COVID-19. During the first part of the show, we're going to hear an update from the president of Columbia College, Dr. Shantanu Bendyopadhyay, about changes at the college. Then later on in the show, we'll be joined by the interim public health officer for Tuolumne County, Dr. Liza Ortiz. But again, first off, we're pleased to be joined on the telephone by Dr. Bendyopadhyay. Dr. Bendyopadhyay, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, BJ. It's nice to be connecting with you, although remotely. But, you know, for the last couple of months, or I should say last 3 or 4 weeks, since coronavirus has become a common household name, this has become what we call our new normal. Life has changed. Life has changed quite a lot since the beginning of March. And we anticipate it's going to stay this way for quite some time.
So what is kind of the status right now at Columbia College?
That's a big question. Let me just break it down into a few components out here. One is, what are we doing for our current students and how we are holding up? Now, as a college, our biggest need or our biggest focus was, how do we ensure our students get what they're enrolled for, that is, complete their courses and get the education that they need? Now, that was a big challenge, because overnight, suddenly we had to cancel all of the face-to-face classes. Now, thanks to the amazing faculty and staff and administrators that we have, we had to face the challenges of converting the remote learning, I don't call it online. We also had to convert most of the labs into a remote learning platform. Now, imagine converting a chemistry lab or a physics lab onto a remote learning platform and how much of collaboration that it requires from everybody on the campus to make sure that the students get the learning that they deserve. And on the top of it, figuring out what are the regulatory requirements, that is our accreditation and our chancellor's office communication. So once the students complete their coursework, we are eligible to give them the degrees, certificates, or completions that they are working towards. I'm happy to say that almost all the courses we could continue in this remote mode, couple of exceptions being welding. I think you can understand that anybody else, how to figure out to do welding online, that has not been figured out yet. So that's a challenge that we continue to grapple with. But apart from that, most of the courses has been converted online or remote. One thing that really helped is, you may recall that we at Columbia College started the experimentation with video transmit classroom, or the connected classroom. That is, we have a video transmit classroom set up in the main campus, and the class is beamed over the internet anywhere that one can have a high-speed internet access. So we already had kind of a model going so that we could take education to the students. And this pandemic has accelerated that pace, that how do we figure out and explore a way of taking the college to the student rather than waiting for the students to come to us. Now, having said that, there has been several challenges. One of the biggest challenges is, it is easy to put the classes online or the remote format, but how do we ensure the students have the ability or the opportunity to access the technology that they need in order to get those classes? So we kind of tried to take a look at that. We distributed 60 hotspots, about 60 laptops to our students. For those who could not have the technology at their home, they could access the internet as well as use the laptops. Is that sufficient? So the technology need or the technology divide, that is one big challenge that's playing on our mind, that this is an equity challenge for the campuses, for those students who have a home and who have a comfortable place and they can get into a fast laptop and taking the remote courses. How do we compare that with the students who are just sitting at a national park or at a public place trying to figure out the internet access and trying to respond to an exam over a cell phone? Where is the equity out there? And we're all grappling with that how do we do that?
That equipment that you mentioned, you know, laptops and so forth, is that something that the college had already or something that you had to find and bring in?
Laptops we had, in the sense, not for distribution to the students, what once this pandemic broke and we had to go remote, we had to seek help of our IT staff. They went and they gathered the laptops that we had. And the second one was hotspots. Hotspots is something that we ordered in anticipation of this coronavirus coming in. And we had to do a little bit of a jugglery out there. Initially, the order was delivered to be at the college, then the campus closed. So we had to go out and then get this delivered at one of our faculty members' home. Then we get it back to the college and then ensure we distribute it, maintaining the social distancing. So that was quite an operation. But thankfully, we could get it done.
Very good. And then when you talk about remote learning and online learning, how are those two things different?
You know, remote learning is a little bit diluted version because online learning is the class already began. That is, you as a student subscribed or signed up for a class, which is supposed to be online. So all of your methodologies and the modalities are set up in the online platform. That is, through a learning shell, what we call Canvas, and your lectures are online, your responses, your messaging boards, everything is set up that way. Remote learning is, I am teaching a class, I'm scheduled to teach this class face-to-face. And suddenly we cannot meet you face to face. So we record the lectures, we send out the notes over the internet, that kind of a thing, which is not as full blown as an online class, which is planned. But it is much more demanding on the faculty members, because imagine the situation. You are thinking you would come to the classroom and lecture to the students. Suddenly you are told within 48 hours, plan your lectures, record them, put them in a video mode, and make sure that the students can ask you questions at some point of time and respond to those. So that's fundamentally the difference. One is a full-blown, everything was online right from the beginning, right from the word get-go. And the other one is kind of an intermediary.
With so much still up in the air, looking ahead with this health pandemic, are you making plans for what the summer and the fall will look like?
Absolutely. In fact, let me start by saying that when do we think that we all would be able to get back to the campus? And how is that phase going to be? The first two phases, we call it, it was more the resolve and resiliency of the campus, that we resolved we would provide the education to the students. We were resilient to convert our classes. Now, second phase is we are thinking about reimagining the situation. How is this new normal going to play out in our lives? And how do we plan the return? We have already announced that there would not be any face-to-face classes until 15th of August. That is until the end of summer. So entire summer schedule has been set up on an online or a remote learning mode. For fall, we are still planning whether it should be a mix, whether we should be able to switch the classes onto an online or the remote learning mode should the occasion demands. So fall is a little bit longer term. We are not making a concrete decision at this point of time, but we are having all of those flexibilities. So if need be, how do we make sure that we can transfer on the online learning on the online or remote mode? But summer, it's pretty much online and remote. Now, on top of that, we are also taking into consideration what is the impact of coronavirus pandemic on our students' lives. High schools are closed. Many of the students who are shopping for colleges at this point of time, they may not be able to visit the campuses. Many of them were thinking about completing the AP courses in high school, may not be able to do so. So we are also preparing ourselves that if those students need those courses, can Columbia College offer that? Here's an opportunity for our students in our area, in the Motherlode area, that rather than venturing out or committing to your future for the fall to a remote place, whether it's an UC or a CSU, you do not know how life is going to be there. They can plan for their summer and fall without missing out on their education and taking advantage of what's available locally at a much more reasonable cost. So that's our plan for summer and fall, that summer fully online, fall online, remote, as well as face-to-face classes, but if need be, the ability to convert that into online and remote. And I would say when I say summer is fully online, I mean it's a mixture of online and remote learning.
The online and remote learning element, are there some benefits to that that you would like to see long-term, potentially continuing on?
That's a million-dollar question. Probably, as I visualize it, yes, there is. This is an experiment that we are running as I mentioned, that Columbia College already started doing this concept of connected classroom. Now, imagine a situation. We say that many of our students are working part-time or full-time, and coming to the campus can be a drain on their time, resources, and money. If we can take education to their own location, whether it's the workplace or whether it's their home, wouldn't that be beneficial for them? Would it reduce the access factor considerably, that rather than calling college being the location, you can do it wherever you are? And I'm visualizing that maybe a day would come where if we have 5 students in any particular business, and we can talk to that business owner, that can you spare these students for 1.5 hours or 2 hours for a class and give them a room and a computer so that they can all be together and it becomes one of our remote classrooms? It's probably futuristic, but I do believe that that's one of the benefits that would come. And that also, when I say that we are reimagining the situation when we return to campus, we have to see that what kind of services can be done remotely. Till now, we all believe that we have to be on campus, have a face-to-face interaction, and then we can provide the services to the students. Now we are doing teaching online or instructional activities online and remote. We are doing counseling via the remote mode. We are providing admissions and records, financial aid, and a variety of services, the student services components, which are on the remote mode. Would we like to continue some of those? Of course. While I say that, we also have to keep in mind that everybody is not meant to be taking courses in an online or a remote mode. So we have to account for those students who enjoy being in a class, who enjoy being in a face-to-face classroom, and then we mix the best of both worlds to provide the education that our students need and deserve.
Interesting discussions down the road. We are joined on the telephone right now by Dr. Shantanu Bandopadhyay, the president of Columbia College, for this weekend's Motherlode Views. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.